my suit, nobody recognizes me.
And I wear a beard, so nobody recognizes me, right? If you ask why do I wear a beard, my daughter is applying to college, and I promise her that until she puts the applications in, I will be supporting her with my beard. So I didn't prepare. Last moment, I want to ask you to present Dan, but I don't need to prepare to present Dan. I met him in the 80s, and he was a PhD student at that time, with Bob Smith, another Smith, who left us. I think he was left after a while. And then Dan joined the department, taught an amazing teacher, absolutely amazing teacher. And after that, I think during the Imelinsky famous years of the department expansion, Don moved into what's at that time LCSR. And he did direct LCSR for quite a while. And after that, all of a sudden, he disappeared. I disappeared myself. I was away for 10 years, as you know, with Ask Jeeves and Teoma. But I haven't, this is the first time I meet Don after
10 years.
So the question is, how do you describe Don? What made him go from the place in the department as a student to LCSR and then to leading the university for a long, long time? Was that the longest time?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years seems to be.
It is amazing that anyone can survive Rutgers University at this level for 10 years. Dan did it. So you ask yourself, how can this person do it? What's so special about this person? All right. So I'm going to describe to you how Dan did it. All right. So I'll describe with an example. So when I was in the 90s, when the Imelinsky years, I call them, it was exciting because there was machines and computers and supercomputers, and Sun Microsystems was the hottest company at that time. And by the way, they told me to slow down because we are ahead of time, so we're okay. All right, so I will tell you stories, right? So. Yeah, so it was an exciting time because the workstations were out there, Apple was out there, but the workstations were for us, right? And Sun Microsystems was so nice that they were giving us computers. They liked us somehow. So we convinced them to give us supercomputers. We had the biggest supercomputers. But then one day, Jeff was the guy who decided, he says, we're going to give you computers for students and workstations for students. And if you remember that time, I mean, we had these humongous screens. Right? It was a workstation, noisy workstation, and humongous screens. It says, with the only condition that you guys are going to put them in one room, you have to find a room, and it's going to be used for teaching. All right. So we got 30, 40 of these computers. But now I go to Dan and I say, Dan, what should we do with it? And Dan says, Dan, this is the guy that you see the people who move a certain way. Dan says, well, we're going to solve this problem. So how are we going to solve this problem? Well, we're going to build a desk. I said, desk? We have no idea about desks. How can me, a numeric analyst, and Dan, a machine learning guy, build a desk? He says, we can do everything. So, okay, build a desk. Why would you build a desk? With this humongous, you're supposed to teach, right? You're supposed to teach. But you have this humongous screen in front of you. How can you interact with the teacher? So Dan comes with this brilliant idea of having this big monitor move down. What was that? Mechanical, right? It was mechanical. So we sat down, he designed, this was typical Dan. He sat down, he said, we're going to solve this problem. He designed the desk, a mechanical moving down the screen. Wow. And now what do we do next time? He says, well, we're going to build it. So we built the desk. And it became so famous, even newspapers wrote about this. It was called the Rutgers desk. So, it was called the Baptist desk, right? So, I think this room still exists. Is it there, Crispin?
Yes.
It is?
248.
248. It's in Hill Center, 248, still, it's a history there. What I was trying to say with this story is, I was trying to capture that persistent, calm, solving problems. I mean, I've never seen anyone when he was running LCSR that would put so much pressure to the people working there, but at the same time, people would love him. So, I guess that's why you made it for 10 years. Congratulations. I'm so happy, really literally happy, to give this award to Dad. Thank you.
Advantage of going last is all of the things that I meant to say have been said already. So I'll be a little bit repetitive, but nonetheless I'm going to go through a short list of things that I feel are important to be said. A few of them haven't been said. One thing that made the department real for us are the people who came in the early 70s as students and graduated in the early 80s, is that the department was truly a community. And when I say community, I'm not speaking of faculty, I'm speaking of faculty, staff, and students. And that coherent group really allowed the department to become what it was. And I just encourage all of you to recognize that that's what makes this work. It doesn't work if you think of faculty independent of staff, independent of students. It is a community, it's all for one and one for all. And that really made a big difference. I'm very honored to receive this award. In some sense, you know, looking at myself, who, as they jokingly say, went over to the dark side. To be the only one here on the dark side means a great deal to me, and hearing what Apostle says does also. I want to go through a very short list and basically name two things that I learned while as a student and as a faculty member in computer science, and name some people who are credited to them. You've heard these names before. So the first one that I want to speak to is Ken Kaplan, who Barbara mentioned. Ken was wonderful at sort of sorting through the noise that was all around you and honing in on what really mattered. And he taught me something that was very important and was very useful to me in my career. And that is, you always need to be very clear on separating what from how. You need to think about what you're trying to do as different from how you might do it. And that was critically important. Ken always used the phrase, form follows function. Today, in more modern terms, you might use Spike Lee and say, do the right thing, and then do the thing right. So that was an invaluable lesson, because all too often, you get stuck in thinking about, I have to do this thing, which is how you're doing it, not what you need to get done. So that's one that was very impressed upon me by Ken Kaplan, who was a chair. Second one was from Tomas Imolinski, and I don't have a quote for Tomas, but I have a quote from Eisenhower, General, not President, General Eisenhower, who said, and this sums up a very important thing, and Tomas always made this very clear, that's why he was such a successful chair, and that is, you need to think about this in the following light. Remember, General Eisenhower. Planning is essential, plans are useless. And why? What that has always meant to me is you needed to pay attention to the things that needed to deal with the things that needed immediate attention, but not lose sight of your long-term goals. And that's a critically important thing for researchers and for everyone as you day-to-day have to step in and put the fires out. Okay? If there's always fires, as Barbara said, you go back to your advisor and say, I've reached an impasse, what do? Get that advice. But you couldn't lose sense of your long-term goal. The last thing I want to do is basically share with you an anecdote. Sort of embarrassing to me, but embarrassment is good. It's a good kind of embarrassment. And it has to do with the importance that instructors, faculty, staff, and students have on one another. So this goes to last year. Sitting in my office, working as CIO. Knock on the door. I open the door, and standing there are two middle-aged women. And I figure, all right, here we go. These are parents who have come back to the university here to complain to the CIO about IT services at the university. And so I brace myself, and I get ready for the question answer that's going to go forward, and I say, can I help you? And it turns out I'm entirely wrong. They look at me, and they say, sort of quizzically, Professor Smith? And I said, yes. And they said, well, we're here at our 25th reunion. And we wanted to look you up and come back and thank you. Thank you for the help and inspiration and advice you gave to two 20-year-old undergraduates 25 years ago. It meant a lot to us. It helped us decide where we needed to go. One went into computer science, one didn't. But they felt obliged to come back and say that. And that is the thing that you cannot underestimate, the importance of what you do in the Department of Computer Science. It means a great deal to people. It doesn't often get mentioned, but it's one of the sort of essential things that differentiates the Academy from so many other institutions. So thank you very much. I really, really appreciate this. I will have a place of honor in my home, and have a good day. I wish computer science continued success. And I'm sure they'll have it given the leadership that's in place. And I look forward to coming back to the 75th reunion.